We'll invite, as usual, the children to go back to kids' worship. Pastor Joel will be teaching them today. Welcome back, Jan and Tom and Vi. Good to see you guys back. We missed you. Good to see Jerry here walking around. Doing great, man. Yeah, after his surgery. Great to see all of you today. We're continuing in this series we began just last week, actually 2 weeks ago, 24/7, 365, Following After God. In this theme, one of the things that I've discovered in my life that helps to keep me in communion with God is recognizing and embracing my place in His plan. I'm going to say that again. Recognizing and embracing God's place, our place in God's plan, will help us to have this communion with Him that is unparalleled any other way. I want you to consider once more Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. We looked at Isaiah 58 the last couple of weeks, particularly these couple of verses, in a lesson that I'm calling Mission and Ministry. In verse 13, God says, through Isaiah, "If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by," and I have this emphasized, "by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you'll find your joy in the Lord." See, there's a condition there. There's an if there, isn't there? If we honor God in the Sabbath, and the idea is not just on one day, but we honor Him. Isaiah 58 was talking about that. He wants us again to honor Him every day. And the days that we gather are to encourage us to do that, to spur us on to do that, to equip us to do that. But again, in doing that, see, in going His way, not our way, what do we find? Joy. And not just any kind of, it's a joy in the Lord. See, it's the idea of in communion with Him, in relation with Him, in this intimacy with Him. Again, focusing, see, on that section about not going our own way or doing as we please or speaking idle words. Now, I don't think I'm the only one that has a hard enough time doing that for a few hours on the Lord's day. The idea of doing it all the time, well, that can be mind-boggling, right? The idea of all the time, not going my way, not doing my thing, but doing God's thing, going His way, doing what He wants. Not doing as I please, but doing as He pleases. And doing what will please Him in my life. That's a tough thing to do. But He says in doing that, what will we find? Joy in this relationship with Him. I want you to see that. This joy. Our agendas and purposes naturally take priority over His. And by that I mean in our flesh. Don't they? That our purposes, our agendas, our ideas, what we want to do, feeding our flesh, you know, pleasing ourselves. Do any of you have to be told to look out after yourself? Sometimes you might need some encouragement about that. But we have a tendency to think, me first. What I want, what I want to do, what matters to me, what pleases me. We have that me attitude in our flesh, do we not? But he says that as children of God, if we're in a relationship with Him, that doesn't have to be the way it is. It doesn't have to be the way it is. That matter of fact, we can even avoid going our own way in our way we talk. No idle chit-chat. That matter of fact, we'll be speaking as He wants us to speak. We'll be speaking as He motivates us. We'll be speaking in accord with His will and wishes. That the words that come out of our mouth will bless Him and others. Not be a curse or not be detrimental to anybody. See, this is really neat. We avoid going our way by following His way. That's important we get that. See, we want to go our way, and we will go our way unless we make it a determination to go His way. We need to follow His way, make that a priority in our lives. We can do that. We can be in harmony with him all the time. And again, notice he promises if we'll do that, if we'll follow his way, not our way, we'll find that joy in the Lord. I want to emphasize that over and over again. Joy in the Lord. Why? Because we're in constant communion with him then. All the time. All the time. I want you to listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, 11. I'll have it on the screen for you if you want to follow along. This is the New International Version. Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. I have that highlighted. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Notice, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Some versions say the oracles of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Notice why. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. See, going his way in communion with him always pleases him, brings him praise, and in it we find joy, fulfillment. When we move in the ministry and mission of God, we find a profound sense of his presence that we don't find otherwise. When we're moving in that. Why? Because we're moved into this position of co-working with God. Think on that a moment. Haven't you found that you get pretty close to those you work with? Haven't you found that you form a bond with people that you work with? Now, maybe you're in a situation where you don't work side by side with someone all the time, but I guarantee you, if you have any kind of a job, any kind of occupation, any kind of vocation, you're going to interact with people. You're going to work with people. You're going to have to connect with people. Isn't that right? And you do that, and the more you do that, you find that you build a relationship with them. And you find this interdependence, don't you? You find that. Part of the reason is because we're forced to spend a lot of time with them. We're put in that situation. And when we learn to work together for this common purpose, whatever it is, you naturally form a bond. Now, in your situation, you may work with a team of people or a crew of people all the time. You may work with just one person. You may have to cooperate with and work with. You may have a partner in business or responsibility at work. Maybe you work a lot alone, but you still have to interact with people and connect with people in business. And you certainly have to do that with your clients. Do you not? You have to do that. And the more you do that, the more you build relationships with the people you're working with and communicating with on a regular basis. Isn't that true? Of course it is. Of course it is. And we're being told here in a similar way. When we're cooperating with God, when we're working with him, we're fellow workers with him, the scripture says. We have a communion with him that is at another level. Another level. Cooperating with God keeps us connected. I know some of you have experienced this in one fashion or another as you operate in the gifts that God has given you, God has blessed you with. Remember what Peter said, with the grace of God, the gifts God gives you. And notice his emphasis was on serving others. When we're operating in those gifts, when we're serving God, when we're cooperating with him, we're keenly aware of his spirit, motivating and empowering. And again, as we serve others to the praise of God, there's this sense, again, of deeper communion. Now I know that the Hebrew writer tells us, quoting Old Testament passage, and you can find this over and over again, this theme, this idea that God will never forsake us. He'll never leave us. He's always with us if we're his children. Always with us. But you remember what Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection, before his ascension, when he gave them the Great Commission, we call it? When he said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's the next line? Anybody know? And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, what was he saying? If you're not, you know, doing disciple making, if you're not doing that, I'm not going to be with you? No, he's not saying that. He wouldn't forsake us, leave us, but he'll be with us in a deeper communion, in a sense of empowering and helping and coming alongside and strengthening and encouraging us as we do that. So that idea is there, this deeper level of communion with God as we're moving in mission and ministry with him. It happens. Recently, while visiting another church, it was down in Florida when we were there on vacation, I was asked this question. Did you enjoy, you know, being at church this morning and not have to do anything? Now she meant very well, but she was a little surprised by my answer. I said, not particularly. I said, don't misunderstand me. I said, I really enjoyed the praise service. I was engaged in worship. I really enjoyed that. It was good. And the preacher had a great message. Great message. But if I am not using my gift, if I'm not using the gift God's given me to teach, I don't feel fulfilled. And she said, so you're obviously not ready to retire. No. No. I'm not. I'm not. See, there's a difference I found between enjoying a service and finding joy in service. They're not the same thing, are they? Yes, I enjoyed the service, but I didn't find joy in service. I wasn't serving. Now, did I serve throughout the day? In other words, yes. Yes. But there's that element of you know, like, wow. I know as well as the next guy, the church is a team, right? It's a body of believers. It's not all about me. There are others who can do what I do as well or better than I do. And there comes a time when I have to, I need to, give them opportunity, step aside, let others do that and serve. But if that goes on for a long time, I start to feel a bit like a player sitting on the bench through the whole season. Can anybody identify with what I'm talking about? And I feel like I came to participate, and I'm itching for a chance to do so. It's like, send me in, coach. Your calling may also be teaching on some level, where you really do have that calling. There are those who teach. There's those who have a calling to teach. We all have to teach and should teach in many ways, by example particularly, okay? But if your calling is to teach, whether it is to teach in a formal way like this, to speak to a crowd, or whether it's to teach in a Sunday school, or whether it's to teach to a small class or a small group, or to teach one-on-one, if that's your calling, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You're itching to teach. You want to share with somebody what you know. Or maybe you have a calling to teach in the way of praise and worship, because praise and worship really is. Our praise leaders, I emphasize them time and time again, you're teaching. You are teaching. You're leading people. Are there not messages in the songs? Are there not? There are things we need to learn. See we're told to teach and admonish one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The scripture says that. So there's a teaching aspect of that. And if that's your calling, to lead in praise and worship, or to sign, as Jan does, for the deaf, you again know what I mean. You're fine to have a weekend off, but if it's really your calling, if it's really your calling, you're eager to serve. You're eager to do that. Somebody says, you know what, we need a hand up. Yeah, could we have hand up? Eager to serve. Those on our praise team, those in our choir. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Just an amen, or you nod your head, or do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not alone up here. I'm not. It's true. If you have that calling, yet those gifts, though they get the most attention, are not necessarily the only gifts, or are they the most important gifts? Mission and ministry can take on many forms. and are just as important, just as vital to the work of the kingdom as those that might take center stage on a Sunday morning. In fact, just for a few minutes, consider the impact of encouraging your neighbors by helping them when they need it. Maybe it's taking them a meal when they're sick. Maybe it's doing a chore for them that they're not able to do. Maybe it's mowing their grass. Or maybe it's doing some grocery shopping for them. Maybe it's giving them a lift, running an errand for them. I know many of you, if not all of you, have done that at one time or another. Is that important? Absolutely it is. And whether you realize it or not, God blesses you, graces you with time and opportunity and ability to do that. And if you have the gift of service particularly, you recognize how that is. You're one of the first ones to volunteer, to sign up, to say, yes, I'll do that. And you don't wait to be asked. You say, what can I do? And if they say, oh, really nothing, you say, are you sure? And you'll ask again, and you'll check back again if that's your calling. And in the process of that, when you're doing that, don't you feel God smiling upon you? Don't you feel and sense God's presence as he's strengthening you, encouraging you, prompting you, and you're moving in the Spirit to do that? How about sharing your faith with your friends? We talked about teaching one-on-one with your family members. That's so vitally important. And if it's truly a calling, you'll have this burning desire to tell people about God's love in Jesus. And if you neglect it, well, not only will the feeling not go away, it's going to cause some spiritual indigestion. It's going to keep prompting you to move in that. And of course, being sensitive to the teaching and the leading of the Spirit in your daily routines at work and play are, again, also essential. We talked again about we may be in different scenarios, different situations as far as our jobs, our occupations, our vocations are concerned. But the way we do our jobs and the way we interact with people at work is as much mission and ministry as anything. Matter of fact, Colossians 4, 5 and 6, Paul said this, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, those words interesting to me. He just, prior to that, says, pray for me, for an open door for the message. And then he says to them, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation, and that's not just what you say, but it's important what you say, isn't it? Remember, not idle words, not just chit-chat, but your conversation, what you say, and what you do, be full of this grace, seasoned with salt, so you can answer everyone. You can respond to everyone according to their need. You can speak to them. And in your actions, in the way you act, the way you interact, it opens doors for the message. It does that. For you or for someone else. Again, to share that message. What about just doing our part to help with community projects? Here you go. Such is our giveaway. Here's that plug for that. But the plug for the giveaway, but also a spurring you on. Spurring you on. And asking you to do whatever you can. There are plenty of slots open still, waiting to be filled by, you ready? You. You and you and you and you and you and you. Some of you have signed up in more than one place already. You said, I'm going to help and I'm going to serve. But I know some of you, you haven't yet. You're holding back. You're giving people, other people, opportunity to choose slots that best fit them. And you're saying, I'll be here every day in every way that I can, just about. I know there are those of you who are like that. So you have that calling on your heart to do that. You're going to serve. You're going to be there. You haven't signed up yet. But again, you're giving others opportunity. Seize the opportunity, folks. Look at your schedules. Look there. And volunteer. Help out. And if you can honestly tell me that you have served others in need when God has put it on your heart to, one way or another, and in the process of that you had no sense of God smiling upon you or coming closer to you, I'd say something in your attitude is blurring your vision or clouding your heart. See, bottom line is when we're doing what God wants us to do, He comes alongside to help. He helps us get it done. He doesn't call us to do something and leave us to do it on our own. He calls us to do things and then He equips us. He comes alongside, He helps us. He supports us, He strengthens us. He gives us insight and wisdom. And when we aren't doing what He wants us to do, He takes a step back. I'm not saying that again, He's not with you, but He's not working with you. Why? You're not cooperating with Him. So many times we're saying, God, I wish someone, I wish someone would just listen to you, be more sensitive to you, and do this because it needs to be done. What about the attitude of saying, God, I know this needs to be done. Would you strengthen me, empower me, use me to be part of getting that done? And we might think, well, I don't have much of ability here or skill, or I don't have the talent, I don't have the resources. We can think that all we want, but does God have the resources? Does God have the power? Does He have the ability? And can He equip us and help us to get done what He wants done? Not only can He will. He will. I can honestly tell you, I have never felt closer to God than when I'm moving in ministry and mission. Never. Part of the reason is because when I'm doing that, you may be surprised at this, maybe you won't, but I feel so inadequate about so much that what I believe God calls me to do is that when I really step out in faith to do it, it's like, God, help me. God, I'm, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And He says, nah, you're on your own. No, He doesn't. He says, no, you're not on your own, and I've just been waiting for you to ask. And He comes alongside, and He comes inside, and He equips, and He empowers, and He helps. That's true for me. It's true for all of you. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you haven't. If you haven't, I'm encouraging you. Step out. Step out. And do what He's calling you to do. Now, I want you to listen to Psalm 32, verse 8 through 11. I will also have this on the overhead for you. This is David, the man after God's own heart. He's going to tell us what God said to him after he had not been following God's way for a little while, where he went astray. But he came back after being confronted about it, repented, confessed his sin, and here's what God had to say to him. God said to him, I will instruct you and teach you, look at the words, in the way you should go. Not the way you want to go, necessarily. Not what pleases you, but in the way that pleases me, in the way that you should go, the way that I've equipped you to go, the way that I'm calling you to go. And he says, I will counsel you and watch over you. How many of you like that idea? That God would watch over you. That seems to be the idea of protection, but also the idea of, okay, helping, watching over. Have any of you ever trained somebody to do something, you know, at work? Maybe, you know, you've had a trainee, an apprentice, you know, that you've had to show them how to do something. You're right? You're doing that. You watch over them, don't you? You watch over them. Now, you're not watching over them, you know, to condemn them, to criticize them, right, to jump on them. What you're doing is watching over them to counsel them, to instruct them, to show them the right way, to help them, right? That's what we're there for. That's the picture here. God watching over us. If we'll go His way, see, in the way He wants us to go, He'll watch over us. He'll protect us, yes, but He will equip us, and He'll help us, and He'll correct us as necessary as we go along the way. And look what He says there. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. He's saying that to David. Don't be like the mule, that stubborn mule, right, who won't listen, who won't come, who won't go, who won't do anything unless you beat him over the head with a stick. I'm not saying you should do that, okay? But there's a few folks who've worked with mules that maybe were tempted to do that, and maybe they did do that. What's God saying? Don't be like that. Don't be like that. And sometimes we can be like that, can't we? Because God is like pulling us in a direction that we don't really feel comfortable going in. He's prompting us to go in a direction that he wants us to go. But you know what? No. And then we kind of pull against the rain, so to speak, right? He says, don't be like that. He says, many are the woes of the wicked. But the Lord's, now look at this, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. I like that. Rejoice in joy in the Lord. I think we saw that idea in Isaiah 58, right? Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Now, what's it mean to be upright in heart? What's it mean to be righteous in the passage? It's the idea of listening to God's counsel, listening to what he has to say, following after him, following his way, not our own way. I love that. His unfailing love surrounding me. Nine and I had an occasion here this weekend to talk to a woman who was very, very distraught, very afraid and concerned, conflicted. And I showed her in the Bible time and time again, God loved her, but she just said, well, she believed that, she said, but she didn't feel it. She didn't sense it. She didn't have conviction about it being real. We encouraged her again to believe God, not feelings. Believe the word. Let the truth again sink in. And we shared some more scripture with her and prayed over her. But obviously she wasn't feeling the Lord's unfailing love surrounding her. So we were encouraging her to go God's way. And that starts with just believing what he says. And believing what he says he'll do, he'll do. And what's he telling us he'll do? If we're not going our way, but go his way, what will we find? Joy. Joy in him. And a sense of his love and presence. God loves us whether we sense it or not, but you will sense it, you will know it, you'll feel it more and more when you go in his way and not your own. That's a beautiful thing. Pretty straightforward, it seems to me. And again, I say I love that idea of him watching over me. I love that idea of his love surrounding me. But what if I'm like that mule? Well, what if I'm like that horse that won't listen? What if I won't go the way I should go? What if I won't do that? The song I've chosen for closing this lesson today is He Leadeth Me. But you notice I have a question mark after it. There's not a question mark in the song. Okay, it's a firm statement that God's leading. But the first verse may suggest to you, if you don't really grasp what I've shared with you today, you may get the idea, because the first verse says, whatever I do, wherever I be, it's still God's hand that leadeth me. I love that idea, but it's not saying, it's not suggesting that wherever I go on my own way, following my own way, doing my own thing, God's led me there. No. It's the idea that he may lead us some places, again, that are uncomfortable. He may lead us some places that are not where we would normally go. But if he's leading us, he's holding us too. His hand leading us, holding on to us, guiding us, supporting us, assuring us. That's cool. That's good. That's wonderful. True and everlasting joy is found in following His way. 365:7. All right? 7 days a week, 24 hours. But how can we do that? We've got to listen, pay attention, follow His way. And in doing that, you're going to find joy. 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 I guarantee it, because He does. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You. I want to thank You in Jesus' name for His mission and His ministry. And that He said, not my will, but Yours. He followed Your way, Father, completely and perfectly, even laying down His life that we can have life with You forever. I thank You for that. But I thank You, God, for seeing us as worthy of having a mission and ministry of our own. That You would empower us and equip us and call us and lead us. And You're patient with us. And I thank You for that. God, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for the way that You strengthen us and hold us up and You protect us and watch over us when we're moving in Your way. I thank You for that. And I pray, God, if there's anyone here today who has not begun even to follow Your way, that they'll rethink that. That they'll give serious consideration. If they're not feeling Your love, if they're not experiencing the joy that's in You, that they will begin to listen and follow. And for us, Father, give us greater faith to follow You, knowing and trusting always that Your way is the right way. And it leads to joy in the now as well as eternity. Thank You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. He leadeth me.